A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Kesubas Ayin Tes, Kesubas 79A, pagination 157, starting from the Mishnah at the middle of the page. Naflu la nechosim. If a woman has money and she's in a marriage setting, so the husband has the right to benefit from her assets, but leaving the assets themselves intact, so that if he dies first, she would be able to walk out with the principal. And if he would divorce her, likewise, she would be able to walk out with the principal. The principal remains hers. So if she has assets, she has money, yulakach b'em karka. We would take that money and we would have them invest it in real estate. For hu ochel peiros, so that it's generating profit to which the husband is entitled during the marriage. Peres hatalushim in akarka. Likewise, if she were to bring fruit, which is detached from the ground, into the marriage, yilokach behem karka, we would sell those fruit, and with the money generated, we would buy real estate. And again, v'hu ochel peres, the point is that there should be this model of her owning the principal, and him benefiting from the fruit. And we'll give some other examples of how this works, but let's first continue in the Mishnah. Peres hamechubarim bekarka, if she brings into the marriage fruit which is still attached to the ground. So over here we have different ways to look at it. Omer Rav Meir says, let's approach this very logically. Shamin osa kamo hi yofe beperos, vekamo hi yofe below peros. Let's see how much the land is worth with the fruit, and how much the land would be worth without the fruit. And the difference between those two values is the amount that the woman really got and owns independent of the husband. And the husband should have to make good on that amount that he's going to reap the fruit, even though he's not entitled to it. Let's go through the timeline and we'll appreciate what's going on over here, according to Reb Meir. If fruit grows during the marriage, the husband is entitled to that fruit. But over here, she inherited a field with grown fruit on the trees. She's got 1,000 bushels of oranges that have not yet been picked. And this all happened before the field was introduced to the marriage. She's inheriting somebody. So all of those 1,000 bushels worth of oranges are really hers as metaltalim, as a cash value that she's bringing into the marriage. So what the Mishnah is essentially telling us is that at its proper time, those fruit will all be harvested, and then we will sell those fruit, and with it, purchase real estate from which the woman owns the principal, and the husband can reap the benefits. So Reb Meir is telling you up front, what really needs to happen here is that in order to buy into the partnership that's going on over here, the husband has to reimburse the wife for the value of the oranges that are already on the tree. The difference in price, Reb Meir says, between what a field with oranges and a field without oranges would be. He gives that money to the woman, and the woman now has cash. And what do we do with cash in a marriage setting? We invest it in something that will cause peros, will cause fruit. And the result is that since he has now paid for the oranges that are on the tree, he's bought his way into this field, even though the oranges that have already grown, he wasn't really entitled to independent of her. Now that he's paid for them, he's going to be allowed to harvest them and keep the fruit for himself. Umosar, and the amount of value that the husband is reimbursing the wife because the fruit on the tree, which he's going to harvest, is really hers as part of the inheritance. Yilakach b'em karka, as we described, they'll buy real estate, and he's going to be able to benefit from the fruit. That's how Reb Meir looks at it. He looks at it very technically. He figures out the value of the field with the fruit, without the fruit. He recognizes that the fruit is going to be harvested, and really the husband's not entitled to that because that's a cash value that the woman inherited, and therefore Reb Meir has the husband reimbursing the wife for those oranges in our case. But the Chachamim say it's far more simple because this is a takana d'rabbanon, and the way the rabbis made the legislation of what he's entitled to is very simple. Hamuchubarim lakarka shalo. Whatever is attached to the field at the time that she acquires the field through this inheritance, if it's attached to the field, he's entitled to it. When it nurtures, it gets picked, he's going to be entitled to it. Vatalusha minakarka, but anything that was already harvested at the time that she inherited, it was already sitting on the ground. In bushels, let's say, shalah, that indeed is hers. V'yilokech behen karka, and it's like a cash value, you buy real estate, v'uel chaperos, in order that he can get the benefit of that while it's producing, which will happen during their marriage. Let's skip down to the Gemara, which is six lines up from the bottom. Now, to be aware, what we're looking for when we invest this money is something that does not require a lot of expenditure, and it generates a significant amount. So we're looking for a good investment, and we're looking for something that's gizo machlif, that rejuvenates itself, that whatever it is that I'm benefiting from on a regular basis does not use the item up. So you wouldn't be able to buy oranges, you wouldn't be able to buy ice cream, because the way to benefit from these things is to use them up. In contrast, we'll see that when we're looking at items, either items that she inherited or items that we're going to buy, we're going to be looking for something that has a principle that can be identified and a benefit that can be identified. Even to the point that in halacha, if she inherits an article of clothing, so the article of clothing is going to be looked at as a principle with a benefit. The principle is the sweater itself. The benefit is wearing the sweater, having warmth from the sweater. And having warmth from the sweater does not intrinsically use the sweater up. Even though, and this is why I'm mentioning lahalacha, this is the way we look at it, even though the item does devalue on some level, because after 1 trillion wearings, it's going to be threadbare. But intrinsically, it's considered in the same category as gizo machlif, as something that you can use it, and it does not intrinsically get used up. If she would inherit such an item, we would allow it to remain. We would not immediately sell it the way we would if she inherited oranges or ice cream. Let's see the Gemara. Pshita, it's obvious. Ara ubati, if they want to invest the money and one of them wants to buy land and one of them wants to buy a house, ara, Bezdin would step in and say that the one who's right is the one who wants the land, because the land meets the specs that we're describing, that it's limited expenditure, significant benefit, you grow things from it, and it's gizo machlif, the land itself remains. Whatever it is that you're going to reap benefit from it the item itself remains. Bati vidikli, houses or fruit trees, bati, you would go with the houses. Dikli ve'ilani, if you have a palm tree or other fruit trees, dikli, you would go with the palm tree. Ilani ve'gufani, if you have trees or vines, ilani, you would go with the trees. Abazardosa, if you have a wood tree forest that's going to get cut down in order to benefit from it. Upira dekavri, or a fish pond. And these are not being described as a choice. These are two items that she inherited. Do we allow them to remain, or do we purposely sell them? And they're in the same category, the same basic concept, that as we're harvesting them, something clearly remains, but the real thing has been harvested. Amri la pira, some view that as a fruit, and therefore there is a principle and a benefit dynamic. The model has been met. Va'amri la karna, and some say that is the principle that you're harvesting. Those wood trees, you've infringed on the very essence of the thing, and therefore you just would sell the whole thing. You wouldn't start harvesting it because it doesn't have the dynamic that we're looking for. Klala de milsa, the basic principle over here is gizo machlif pira. If it's something that rejuvenates, we'll call it fruit. En gizo machlif, but if it doesn't rejuvenate, karna, then you're dealing with the principle only, doesn't rejuvenate, and therefore you would sell the item. It's not an item that fits the dynamic of the husband-wife relationship. We want something that the woman owns and the husband can reap its benefit. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.